All right, welcome to winter quarter, Moedon Hebrei.
Let's say it together.
Moedon Hebrei, Club Hebrew. Very happy to have everybody here. Yeah, please just feel free to. There's a couple places here by the teacher. I promise I won't ask you guys any questions. We're on 1 Samuel 19 for those of you guys who have been following along. We're about to start verse 9. Where we left off the last part, remember there was this agreement that David and Saul would get along, but almost immediately that was broken. And David, where we left off, there was again a war against the Philistines. And David went out and had success, and that's where we leave it. That's where we left it last quarter. All right. Now verse 9 takes an interesting turn, where as you begin to see God's part in this in ways that as human beings, we may have a little trouble with poor Saul, all right? And we can discuss the issues that are raised by these verses outside of this context, but they're rather interesting for what they say about the character of God in relationship to His people, and have to do with election and grace and all that. It puts grace in a very sharp contrast, you know, in ways that we think of it, when we think in terms of how God could have dealt with us, I guess. So, look at how He dealt with Saul. So, verse 9, Vatehi ruach Yahweh ra'a el Sha'ul. Here it is. The Spirit of the Lord, an evil one, ra'a, came, Vatehi, that's from Haya, came to Saul. So, a Spirit of the Lord, an evil one, came to Saul. Okay? That's the theological difficulty. Difficulty in quotes, I think. Luther has a good way of handling it, but we won't go into that. Second part. Vehu beveto yoshev. And he in his house was sitting. Simple call participle. Notice the structure of this clause. We would normally interpret it as a kind of a circumstantial clause and translate something like while he was sitting in his house. So notice I'm translating it in relationship to the first clause that I read. So, an evil spirit came upon Saul while he was sitting in his house. Now, here's another kind of circumstance as the author sets the scene here. Va'chanito be'ado. And in his hand, and his chanit, his javelin or his spear, was be'ado, in his hand. Ve'david menagen be'yad. And David was playing an instrument, menagen. Notice that's a piel participle from nagan, playing an instrument beyad with his hand. In other words, we would say he was playing a stringed instrument, kind of a harp probably, or a lyre or something like that. Okay. So that sets the stage. And again, notice how he's setting the stage with these kind of simple reporting clauses or circumstantial clauses, kind of giving you the details of the scene. All right. Any questions about verse 9? The grammar syntax. Alright, verse 10. Vayeva ke Sha'ul lehakot ba'chanit be'David u'vakir. The same thing happened, if you guys remember, a few chapters back with almost the same wording. Saul yevakesh, tried. This is, again, a piel, imperfect vav, consecutive from bakash. Saul tried lehakot. What's the root?
Nakah,
very good, we got that. Normally translated as struck. Here, we translate something like this. Saul tried with his chanit, with his spear, to thrust into David and into the kir, into the wall. Very good English would say, Saul tried to pin David to the wall. Alright, pin the tail on the donkey time. Alright. Va yiftar mitnei Sha'ul. But he, notice the subject is understood, he escaped, patar. But he escaped mitnei Sha'ul, from Saul. So here David was pretty nimble. He escaped from Saul, and again the same thing happened last time. So maybe he was not actually very comfortable playing the stringed instrument. You never know what kind of spirit's going to come with the stringed instrument, you know, when you think about it. Could be a good one, which is usually, sometimes the bad one comes. So he escaped from Saul.
Devil music,
yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. The devil came down to Georgia. Vayaket hachanit bakir. And he thrust Again from Nakah, and he thrust the spear into the wall. All right, so you can imagine David kind of just dodged. Vedavid Nas. See, again, here's another circumstantial clause, I would say. While David escaped, the Nas is from the hollow verb nous, to escape. All right, simple call. While David escaped. Okay. Vayimaleh balailahu. And he slipped away balailahu, on that night. He slipped away that night. Notice a yimalate is a nifal, imperfect vav consecutive from malat. The pl is the transitive form. He to deliver someone. You would use the pl. To escape, you would use the nifal, kind of an intransitive. So, and he escaped that night. Now I want you to notice, you'll be able to see it when we go on here, but here it will become evident that these last three words, Vayimaleh balailahu, summarize the end of the story that he's going to detail with verse 11. And my point is this. Notice that verse 11 starts with another vav consecutive, but the action described is not consequent to him slipping away. The action is a detailing or explanation of how he got away. So notice that you cannot always automatically say that a vav consecutive means sequence. You are still interpreting, looking at the context, and trying to relate the clauses to each other, just like we always do. I think that's very important to keep in mind as you're reading text, because this is, we've seen this before in Samuel, how he'll kind of give the end of the story and then backfill it with the details, and that's what he's going to do here very clearly. Okay, so I'm going to translate the first vayishlach as something like this. He slipped away that night. That is to say, or now, Saul had sent Malachim, messengers, El Beit David, to the house of David, Leshomro, to guard him, to watch him. This is a call, infinitive construct from Shamar with the suffix on it, third masculine singular suffix. And so you have the interchange of vowels. That's why you have that shamro. Okay. So he sent messengers to the house of David to watch him. And lahamito. What's the root? Moot. Again, a hiphil. Moot means to die. The hiphil is transitive. To kill him. Baboker, in the morning. You know, that's kind of odd. We don't know the background. Why didn't they just kill him that night? I don't know if they just didn't want to, if he was too popular to kill surreptitiously or kind of in secret, they wanted to make it a public act of victory or something. I don't know. But they wanted to wait till morning. Okay? Vatage le David mikal ishto. Ah. Michael, his wife, tagid le David, reported it to David. From Nagad, again, a hiphil. Common word for to tell something, to report something. So Michal, his wife, got wind of it, probably looking out the window with the binoculars. Oh boy, we're surrounded. Told David, his wife, saying, now here, this is good. Im einika memalek et nafshika halayla makarata mumat. If, now look at this einika. That's just ein plus the second masculine singular suffix. Plus, now here's the PL participle. Memalate, remember we had the nifal above in verse 10. Vayimalate, here's the PL. So you can bet that there's an accusative following it, saying, if you do not deliver nafshaka, your life, I'll probably say, if you do not save your life, halayla, tonight, halayla, makar, tomorrow, atamumat. You will be what?
Dead.
Put to death. What's this great form? You don't see these too often. Very good. Frankie, my man. It's a hafal from moot. Hafal participle from moot. We had the hiphil before. Here's the hafal. You will be put to death. Okay? Questions through verse 11. Okay, verse 12. Vatored mikalet David be'ad hachalon. So, Mikal Tored. This is from the root Yarad. Yarad means to go down in the call. So this is a hiphil. And so that's why you have that O form after the Tav. That's why you have the holem. Mikal let David down Be'ad Hachalon, through the window. Vayelek, Vayivrak, Vayimale. And he, it's literally, and he went, and he fled, and he slipped away. And he went, and he fled, and he slipped away from Halak and Barak, and then we've seen Male. I would probably translate those first two in something like a Hendiades. He left in flight, or something like that, and he slipped away. Okay. Questions through verse 12. Right, good. Verse 13. Vatikach mikal et. Here's where it gets interesting. Vatikach mikal et ha terafim, vatasem el ha mita, veet kevir ha izim shama meraashotav, vatekas babaget. And mikal took. What's the root? Lakach. She took et ha terafim. Look at that word. The teraphim. It's kind of interesting what these are. This word is actually used 15 times in the Hebrew Bible, always in the plural, even though, as you will see here, the referent is singular. All right. In Genesis, remember that there's that famous story where Rachel hides the household gods under her when she's fleeing from Laban. And you know, she deceives him that way. So what the function is, they're not sure. It's normally translated household gods. Whether it has to do with inheritance rights, some say. Some suggest that for purposes of fertility, you know, if you want fertility in your house or something like that. But the function is not known. I'll pass this around as I'm translating. Here is some types that of these things that people have found, that archaeologists have found, that they think matches up with what are normally referred to as Tephilim in the Bible. This one must have been close to life size, notice. Okay? So notice Mikal took, and I would just translate the teraphim as the household god or something, Vatasem. And she placed it el hamita. She placed it on the bed. Hamita. Okay. Ve'et kevir ha'izim. Okay, look at this. Kevir is, I think it's only used once or twice. And I'm going to translate it as a net of goat hair. Izim is the word for goat. A's. Izim. Okay. A net of goat hair. And I like the idea. The best interpretation, I think, is that it was kind of like a mosquito net. Okay, so woven goat hair. So in other words, notice the definite article implies that this was just kind of a household item. It wasn't as if it's some weird thing. Okay, so she put the thing on. Well, you know, if you live in that part of the country, mosquitoes can be a problem at night, I suppose. So what I'm envisioning is that she put this thing, the teraphim, on the bed, and The net of goat's hair, shama, notice that is from seam, I'm sorry, sama. This is from seam, third feminine singular, from seam. You don't see that form too often. And she placed it at meraashotav, at its head. Okay, so notice you can see the kind of root rosh in meraashotav. So what I'm thinking is she put it in the bed, and then notice what it says. And she covered batekase. I'm sorry, but that's from kasa, a pl, to cover. And she covered it with baget, with a garment. So what I'm thinking is she put it in the bed, and put the mosquito netting over the top part of him, see, and then covered the rest of him with a blanket, or whether it's a blanket or a garment, so that you know, the thing was opaque, you can't see through it. And so when the messengers came, and as you will see, Micah, Mikal says that he's sick. Well, they're not going to go in there, and if the room's dimly lit, you could fool them easily, see? So I think that's as good a picture as I've kind of read in trying to figure out what happened here. Okay? Verse 14. Now, Saul wants to know what happened. Va'yishlak Sha'ul malakim lakachat et David. Then Saul sent messengers, lakachat, to get David. Okay? Vatomer, and she said, cholahu, he is sick. Call participle. Okay, chola, chala. He's sick. So Saul, that's not going to stop Saul. This is funny, I think. I mean, from a Western perspective, we'd say give him medicine. Here's what Saul does. Va'yishlak Shaul et ha-melekim. So Saul sent the messengers again, lirot et David, to look at David from Ra'ah, okay, to look at David, lemor, saying, Ha'alu oto ba'mita elai la'hamito. Ha'alu is from Allah, a hifil imperative. Allah in the call means to go up, so the hifil would mean to bring him ba'mita, in the bed, to me, Eli. Now he just kind of says it, la'hamito, so that I can kill him.
What we should do when students
have
absence notification.
Yeah, get him out of the bed. Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Oh,
it's like you dummies. It's like you dummies. Just go get the bed. It's cracking me up. I have to kill it. Any questions through verse 15? Of course, you got plenty of questions. I can't answer one of them. Verse 16. Vayavou hamalakim. So the messengers came, Vehine haterafim el hamita. And look, the teraphim were on the bed. U kavir ha'izim mera'ashotav. And the goat net, the goat's hair net, was at its head. Okay? Verse 17, Vayomer Shaul el Mikal. So Saul said to Mikal, Lama kaka rimitini. Why like this? That's from the preposition ke plus ka. Why as this, as thus? Or why thusly rimitini? Have you deceived me? This is a PL from the root rama. Okay? Why have you deceived me? Now notice this next word. Vateshalchi et oivi. This is from the common root shalach, to send, and it's a PL. But notice the context doesn't make, you wouldn't say it kind of send violently or anything like that. Notice you really have to have the meaning, why have you helped my enemy escape? See, notice how the meaning of the word in this context is not that, you have to really read it contextually, and it would be forcing it to get some notion of thrust or send in this particular context, I think. All right? So why have you helped my enemy escape, vayimalate, so that he slipped away? Vatomer Mikal, she's pretty bright, El Shaul. Then, Mikal said to Shaul, Hu amar Eli shalchini, lama amite. He said, Hu amar, to me, shalchini, help me escape. Okay. Lama, why amitek? Why should I kill you? Okay. Again, that's the hifil from moot. So notice we're getting a lot of different forms of moot and malat, pretty common words in Hebrew Bible for you guys to learn.
Go ahead. Why should I kill you?
Yeah, in other words, she's saying that David threatened her. She's saying, see, in other words, here's what David said to Michal. Help me escape, why should I kill you? In other words, if you don't help me escape, I'm going to kill you.
Okay.
So she was trying to get out from under her dad's wrath, obviously. Okay. Verse 18. Again, notice this kind of circumstantial clause, and so we don't have a vav consecutive. Ved David barach. So David fled. Vayimalate, and he slipped away. All right. So notice how all of this, just kind of backing up from 11 on, has been a description of how David slipped away that night. See, he slipped away, and now the aftermath of it. So David fled by Yimalate and slipped away by Yavo El Shemuel HaRamata, and he came to Samuel at Ramah. All right. Now, I'm passing around this map that you will see. I think that if you just follow it, this map gives all the travels of David in his fleeings from Saul, which we're going to read about in the next chapter. So we get a little kind of geographical adjustment with it. He went north to Ramah rather than south to Bethlehem, his hometown. Probably because that's where Saul would look first, go back home, see? But he didn't. He went north, as you will be able to see. So you just kind of pass that around, and we'll finish up with this verse. Vayaged lo. And he reported to him, or someone reported to him, et kol asher asa lo Shaul. Everything which, I'm sorry, and David reported to Samuel everything which Saul had done to him. Okay, Vayelek hu Ushemuel. And he and Samuel left. Okay, notice you have the compound subject but singular verb. Vayeshvu ben Navyot. He and Samuel left and they dwelt in Navyot, which seems to be a township of Ramah, as we will see.
Like a suburb?
Like a suburb or something like that, or some kind of field or something, a little village near it. It's still in the Ramah, as you will see in a few verses. All right. Any questions up through verse 18? Yes, Dan.
Just because you had the passed out of the thing, is there any? What's this with the household God? Is that an accepted thing?
It seems to be. Yeah. I mean, right. There is some evidence of it in extra biblical literature of these kinds of things, and so, like I said, you see it 15 times. Obviously, the prophets speak against it. It seems to be kind of condemning this kind of thing. But again, what their exact functions were in the culture and theology, it's people aren't really sure. The archaeologists aren't really sure. Yeah, something like that. Is it more than that? Does it indicate some kind of inheritance rights? Because it seemed to be connected with inheritance in, I think, that Genesis text. And I didn't look at that one too carefully. But again, some of them, like in one article I read, you'll see this one where the lady is holding their breasts as if it's for fertility. But then you see another one where the woman is kind of real thin and shapely, and they're suggesting, does that have a different function or similar function or what? And people don't really know. It's kind of interesting. All right? All right, good. Thanks very much.